Without further ado, let's give the Lord a hand clap for our brother. Amen.
Thank you. Good evening, man. Now, this is the hardcore Christian crowd that's here tonight. Praise God. Show up Sunday night in the rain. I'm happy about that. Glory to God. You're glad you're a believer, aren't you?
Amen.
You were here this morning, most of you, I suppose. I remember I was here. How many of you remember anything I said? Just even one thing. Just one thing. And if I was to ask you what it is, you would actually have an answer for that. What is it you remember? What do you remember? Strongholds. You remember strongholds. What about them? Remember anything about them? There can be good strongholds. All right, let's go for a show of hands. One person has something to share that you got this morning that really impacted you. What is that? We don't have to be held in the grip of the old strongholds. That's right. Glory to God. Anybody else? Ooh, the shepherd restores our soul. Glory to God. Yeah. Praise God. That's a good one. Awesome.
Life.
Yeah, that's a huge way to identify it, isn't it? Yeah. To see what's really going on and to get some revelation as to how to change it. Yeah. We can change the lens. We can change the perspective and how we see things. Praise God. Well, I'm not going to go down that road tonight, but I'm glad I did this morning. But I've got some strong things that the Spirit of God has really instructed me to walk you through tonight. And I want to call this the untouchables. You as a believer, untouchable. Amen. Let me read a statement to you from 1 John chapter 5, first of all. Verse 4 says, whatever's born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I want you to listen to this from the Message translation. He said, again in verse 4, every God-begotten person. How many God-begotten people are here tonight? It's the hardcore God-begotten crowd. Every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Glory to God. The world, its system, its threats, its mindset, all of the things that we could collectively lump into the world's ways. There's a lot of them. But faith in God, in His Word, and in what Jesus has done on our behalf brings all of it to its knees. Oh, I like that picture. The person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. What we believe really matters. We know that. But what we believe in an ongoing basis, on a regular day-to-day approach to what's going on in our life, it matters also. It's not a, and we know this, I know I'm talking to the church crowd here, but it's not a Sunday event. It is a life that we live. It's the habit of how we choose to think, what we've decided to believe, what we've received revelation from God over, the things that God has given to us. And the more we ponder it, meditate on it, roll it through us, let it filter all the strategies of the devil out of our thinking, the stronger we get, the more powerful we become. Brings the world to its knees. Ooh, that's a great, great picture. But dropping down to verse 18, and I'm gonna bounce off of this a good bit tonight. In verse 18, again in the Message translation, it says, the God begotten are also the God protected. The evil one Can't lay a hand on them. Glory to God. Can't lay a hand. Say it out loud. I'm the God begotten. I'm the God protected. The evil one can't lay a hand on me either. We got to lock in on this because we're living in fearful times. Perilous times, Paul called it. These would be the days when men's hearts would fail them for fear of what's coming on the earth. That's what Jesus said would come. Now, we don't know if we're at that time ultimately or the total time where we'll see that, but we're seeing it. We're seeing the fear of a variety of things. But this latest virus, they call the beer virus after Corona, which is sad that I would know that. But the more they talk about it, the more reports you get on it, the more opportunity you have to jump into the fear that the rest of the world's in. One doctor got on television and said just a couple of days ago, he just described what the real problem is right now. It's not as much the virus as it is the media's covering of the virus. And that we need to calm down. We need to be smart, but we need to get our heads screwed on and keep it on straight regarding these things. But it's not only the virus. You've watched what's happened. Some of you have watched what's happened in the stock market. And all of that is for the very same reason. It's out of the fear and the uncertainty of the days ahead. Has nothing to do. The same companies that were worth a lot a few days ago, a few months ago, are still worth a lot. The ones that were producing a few weeks ago are still producing. But it's the fear of what's coming. They don't know what's coming. The market hates uncertainty. But here's what God tells you and me. The God begotten are also the God protected. Say it out loud, I'm the God begotten. And I'm the God protected. The evil one can't lay a hand on me. All right, we're going to probably say it even more. Glory to God. If you leave with anything tonight, it's going to be that. In fact, we could just close up right now, although I'm not about to. But I want to make a statement, really. I'm going to take something Brother Copeland said regarding protection. And that's really the bulk of what I want us to talk about tonight, divine, supernatural protection. But Brother Copeland said this. He said, when you're touchy, you know what it means to be touchy. Some of you know very well. When you're touchy, you're not correctable. And when you're not correctable, you're not protectable. That's amazing. That's a great statement. It's a sad fact, but it's a great statement. We want to be protectable, but you see, here's the thing about faith and the promise that God has made for protection. Every promise has process. Every promise is God's intention to do that very thing in my life, in your life. We don't have to talk him into it. We don't have to bend his will. It is his will because he promised it. But there is a process to that promise coming about in my life or in your life. It doesn't happen only because God said it. It happens because I've believed it. It's not only what God says that counts. You see, God has given all these promises, and they've been available all of your life. You had the promise of eternal life long before you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Here's a shocking fact that this promise of God, every promise really, this is amazing. It is subject to your choice. God has taken his will for your life, his plan, his purposes, all of the things that he's designed for you, and he's brought that under subjection to your choice. None of it comes about until you choose it. Whoa. See, what this does, and I know some people get nervous about this, but what it does is it gives some clarity as to why things are not happening for people. Not with the idea of throwing condemnation on somebody, but just for some clarity to understand that God is not the one holding back. He's not the one withholding blessing, help, hope, future, healing, anything. He's not withholding from us any more than he's withholding salvation from every person on this planet. He's not withholding salvation. Any person at any instant can make Jesus the Lord of their life and come to know all the riches you know by being born of the Spirit of God. It doesn't happen, though, for a person until they choose it. A person can go their entire life, resist God, never know the promise of God that you've walked in all these years that you've been in it. It's not because God has done it. We know that. But we've got to connect the dots, and we've got to keep in mind what's really going on around us. That we really are in a war. It's a war for the reality of the power of God in this planet. It's a war against righteousness, and it's against God's plan and God's purpose. It's going on constantly. Demonized people are on the television telling you every day about the kinds of things that are coming down on us and blaming, in many cases, blaming God for it. And what we have to be wise enough to do is to know how to filter these things right. You know, that's really one of the main ideas of meditation in God's Word. When He tells us to meditate in the Word day and night, some people have no idea, how in the world would I do that? How could I meditate day and night? You can't read the Bible day and night. You can't quote scriptures day and night. You got to work sometime. Okay, nobody was excited about that idea. It could happen for you first thing in the morning, though. So what would that mean? Now, this is not my message. I'm going to get to my message real quick. How many of you believe that? Not a hand in the house. Meditation, a part of meditation is that you would filter, let God's word and what you know about God filter all the information that is being brought to you or thrown at you. Let it be filtered through the filter of what you know about God. When they tell you it's flu season, when they tell you the virus is on its way or whatever the heck they're telling you, let it filter through the promise of God that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. And see what happens to that information. It really puts it in perspective of what God really has done on our behalf when you let God's word be the filter of the information and the ideas. And it filters out the fear. The God begotten or the God protected. The evil one cannot lay a hand on them. We know that we are held firm by God. It's only the people of the world who continue in the grip of the evil one. Aren't you glad you've been made free? Amen. Now look, this freedom isn't just for us alone. It's for everyone. So we do have, as part of our purpose, to get the word out that this is not just for some elite crowd. This is for everybody, anybody that'll make Jesus the Lord of their life. So we're not an elite club, but it does feel good to be royalty. It sounds elite, doesn't it? And it can feel elite. Now it's available to all, but we are in our Master's house. We are children of the Most High. We have rights and privileges of sonship and family. Glory to God. We could just wander around in that all night. Wouldn't hurt you. But there is a process I mentioned. And I want to talk to you a little more about that process of any promise. But particularly right now tonight, we're going to focus on protection a good deal. Divine protection. And how that protection comes. And protection from a variety of things. Not only disease, but of financial collapse or of crime or of accidents or of all the other kinds of strategies Satan wants to use against us. Now, none of this, I'll just give you this caveat from the beginning, none of this is to say that somebody that has had an accident or fallen to a disease or had some other issue come at them that for some reason, you know, they are failures and had no faith. That is so off narrative of what God really has to say to us. But here we are. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by God's word. This is what really builds faith to receive is if we keep hearing it. So I want to read some things to you tonight. Again, if you read the Bible, this is going to be familiar to you. How many of you read the Bible? Yeah, you were in church. You know, you got to raise your hand, even if it's just like barely I read the Bible. But just go ahead. We won't know. But I want to take some time tonight to go through the 91st Psalm with you. And I want to point out some things that the Holy Spirit has made real to me. There's so much in this, we could be here for a long time, so I won't make it too long, but there's some really powerful things that I want you to grab hold of tonight. So we'll begin in verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, or the, not just secret, but the, it could be translated, the covered place. He that dwells in the covered place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Of course, this all makes sense when it's looked at that. Under the shadow of the Almighty. The Latin word for shadow, this is interesting to me. This just got me when I saw this, that the Latin word for shadow, of course, this is written in Hebrew, not Latin, but you get it. The Latin word for shadow is the word umbra. What do you think we get from the word, you know, this is not hard. This is open book stuff. But umbrella. We get the word umbrella from shadow. The umbrella, while it was handy tonight on the way in, protecting from the rain, it wasn't really devised in order to protect us from rain. It was created to create a shadow, to protect you from the sun. The umbrella gives you the ability to carry your own shade everywhere you go. This is me holding an umbrella, by the way. You get to carry your own shade anywhere and everywhere. What a picture. We are under the secret covered place of the Almighty everywhere we go, and we're carrying our own shade. Glory to God. Whatever tries to beat on you, whatever tries to drop on you, whatever tries to fall on you, whatever tries to cook your head, you've got your own shade because you have the presence of the Almighty as a cover over you. Glory to God. He who dwells. Now, this is not to visit. This isn't to drop by or do a drive-by. He who drives by the secret place is not where the promise is. Now, you get it. It's he who dwells. We stay locked in. We're not going to be run off by questions, by fears, by anxieties, by past pressures, by disappointments. We're not going to let go of this covered place. We're staying locked in. See, we may not understand the reason for certain things that have happened, but anything that comes at us, we understand enough to know that we have to let God's word filter the lack of understanding and the confusion out. I may not understand all of the details of what's going on, but I'm not confused by it. You don't have to be confused by it. No, I don't understand why some people don't receive and others do. I mean, I get it. I know some reasons. I don't know every reason. I've talked about this here before, but this always seems to come up in my mind just because this example, I think, says a lot. There was a pastor friend of mine, well, acquaintance. Don't want to be too loose with these words. Pastor, great church, and in his church there was a young mom that had been diagnosed with cancer. And the whole church rallied together to pray, lay hold on healing for this lady. And the whole church was praying. She was praying. People would go visit her. Pastor would go see her. She was talking the word. She was listening to messages and on faith and healing and just doing all the kinds of things that I would do and that I would tell her to do. But she continued to decline. Finally, she was in the hospital full time. And the pastor wasn't thinking about this on a particular day, but he was across town, and the Lord said, I want you to go visit her, and I want you to ask her a question. So he turned his car right then and just went over to visit her at the hospital. And when he got in to the hospital, there she was. She's listening to some kind of either Christian music or somebody preaching. You know, all the right stuff. Had scriptures pasted on the wall. You know how we do. We get really radical in these hospital deals. It's great. I think we should. Just take over. But the pastor came in and sat down, chit-chat. How are you? Yep, okay. Hey, the Lord's told me to ask you this question. Are you going to live? Or are you going to die? And she kind of just looked down and kind of had not a smirk on her face, but she said, well, you know, Pastor, I've never said this to anybody, not even my husband. But I knew the moment I was diagnosed that I would die with this disease. She had settled something on the inside from the very beginning. We'd like to think that we could pray people out of that. But it just doesn't always happen, does it? And this pastor said, you know, I appreciate you telling me and being up front with me. And he had told her, he said, there's no wrong answer here. But what have you settled on? What's on the inside of you? And he said, you know, my church is going to need to know this because we've been praying for you to recover and be healed. They've been praying and they need to know that you'd already settled this. And your children need to know that God hasn't failed your family and failed to heal their mom, where they go through life questioning what was going on, or maybe even worse, becoming embittered that God wouldn't heal. And she was right. In just a few weeks, she was gone. Now look, here's what we all know. She's in heaven. She's healed now. That's not a cop-out, man. That's the real deal. Look, man, whenever I go, whenever it happens, you hear about it, don't cry for me, Argentina. Man, I'm a happy guy. Now, look, I want my kids and grandkids, I want them crying some. And then on the way out, poke each other and say, how much money did you get? Glory to God. Death doesn't have to have a sting. We give it a sting. I say we, I don't mean me. I'm not giving it a sting. But we don't always know all the details of what's going on for a person. But we understand that the promise has come. So somewhere the issue is in the process. Do you see that? Now, I may not know what's in the process for that person, but something is in the way. Could be a stronghold like we were talking about this morning, or a variety of different things. These aren't cop-outs. This is just the way the systems are designed. And what sin has done is compromised people to the point that they don't receive on the level that God's designed for them to receive. And we have to come out of that. And that's the process I'm talking about. So part of the answer comes in this statement that we read, that he who dwells in the secret or covered place of the Most High shall abide under the umbrella or the shadow of the Almighty. He goes on, he said, I will say of the Lord. Now we're about to read what to say. This is what he said And in my mind, if he said it, I say it. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. That's what we say. Let's say it out loud. He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. That's what we say. We don't even have to know what is going on, except that's where I stand. He's my fortress, my refuge, my protection, my barrier, my wall. This is where I run when things get hot. This is who I go to. It's my go-to situation to run to the refuge of the Most High God. He didn't say he runs to us. He's there. There's no question, man. We don't have to wonder, where's God in all of this? I don't find Jesus, man. Where's God? I mean, you get people, they say weird stuff. Here's what he tells us to say. He's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. But now we're going to introduce something to you in this next verse that is so powerful. He says here, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, diseases. Glory to God. So here's our inoculation. Now look, they're working on a vaccination. You don't have to wait. For real. We don't have to wait for them to come up with whatever the FDA, dragging their feet, excuse me, will allow to have happen. We have Psalm 91, verse 3. He'll deliver you. Say, he delivers me. He said he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. This word deliver, actually you find it three times. We're looking at the whole chapter tonight, so we're going to get to these other two. But three times the word deliver is used in this psalm. And yet in the Hebrew text, it's three very different words that have very different implications and meanings. All of them are deliverance and revelation, really, about how God does deliver us, but they're not all the same. That's interesting to me. And while we're in English, we've just got the same word, and I know it can be frustrating sometimes. You realize, well, how am I supposed to know the difference? Because people like Pastor dig this out and tell you. Or, you know, now here's a thought. Or you dig it out. There was no enthusiasm over that. Surely he shall deliver you, and it literally means to snatch or pluck up out of trouble. He will deliver you. And the idea really in this is that you're already in the snare. He will deliver you from the snare that you're in. See, we don't want to really feel like we are caught in a snare that the enemy has devised against us. But here's what we all know. We've all been there. In one snare or another, one aspect or one way or another, that we have allowed the enemy to gain ground on us or to take advantage of us or to impose his will against God's will and really against our will. But we've allowed some things into our life that don't belong or that we really could be free from. And you find yourself in what he calls here a snare. Snared. But here's the wonderful thing, and there's a lot of them, but man, one of the great things in this is that God does not leave you on your own because you got yourself in a snare. Now, we'd like to blame the devil, so I think we should. I mean, even if he doesn't deserve it, because a lot of people are highly skilled at screwing things up without the devil's help. Oftentimes, the devil has to just jump in to get some credit. But you're not like that. You're the Sunday night crowd. There was some here this morning, though. But here's God's commitment to us. He will deliver you even when you are in a snare, even a snare that you got in all by yourself. Amen. Glory to God. Yes. He will deliver you. I mean, you think about some of the various people in Scripture, you know, particularly, well, all of them really, but the Old Testament's full of a lot of guys. David was one of them. He wrote a lot of the Psalms. I don't think he wrote this one, but he wrote a lot of them. But boy, he got in some major trouble. Enemies came at him. Enemies ripped him off. Enemies stole and killed and pilfered and all kinds of threats. He was running a lot of time, even from friendly fire type people. He was in a lot of snares. Many of them self-induced problems. And yet God saw him through. He always looked to God. And God always delivered him. It's amazing the things that God delivered David from. You realize he even reached over at one point when that whole nasty mess with Bathsheba and her husband that he had murdered, really. And now the prophet Nathan came to him and said a little, well, we shouldn't call it a trap. It was the prophet of God. But he led him down the road. Of things that had been done in the kingdom that were unjust and ungodly. And when David became incensed about all of it, this cannot happen in our kingdom. I will take vindication against these people. And then the prophet said, well, you are that man. Yeah. Holy moly. You know, blood rushed out of his head. I don't know how dark he was, but he got pale right then. And yet here's the shocking thing in all of this. What he had done, there was no offering or sacrifice offered by the law for forgiveness. There was really only the instruction from the law that he was to be taken, anybody that did what he did, was to be taken outside of the camp or outside of the city and stoned until he was dead. That was his future. What kind of idiot does stuff that has that kind of future and consequence? Anyway, don't want to be judgmental here. But then David did something that is absolutely phenomenal. Psalm 51 describes it. He called on God. And the whole prayer is there. He didn't bring up justice once. He brought up God's loving kindness and tender mercy. And he called on God to forgive him. He understood the heart of God to the point that he believed God wanted to deliver a person more than destroy him. Nobody else thought like this. Nobody else had this light or insight about God. And he, for real, reached into new covenant forgiveness and pulled it into his situation all those years before Jesus even came. It's phenomenal. But what's just as phenomenal is that he received that forgiveness from God and went on to be the greatest king other than Jesus that Israel has ever known. This is just crazy good. Glory to God. So while he was in a snare that there was really no way out, he found the way out. So you cannot let the devil convince you that your situation is too bleak, that it's without hope, that you're too far gone, or the situation is too convoluted or too many problems. No, we know that God doesn't unscramble scrambled eggs. Instead, he just serves a different meal. Glory to God. We're done with that. We'll go this way. All right. Anyway. So he said, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He'll cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth, or his word, we could say, but it says there, his truth shall be your shield, big shield, and buckler, little shield. His word, this is why you meditate on it, this is why you speak it, this is why you embrace it and you dwell in it, because it is the shield or the filter or the protection, big and small, from big stuff, from little stuff. Your shield and buckler. Verse 5, you'll not be afraid of terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence or coronavirus that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday when the market drops 1,000 points or more, or whatever else. Now, I realize it's not only talking about things like that, but it includes this. All of these things come at us to strike fear in us, don't they? That's what all this is all about. You realize that fear is the currency of the kingdom of darkness. It's like faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. This is what Satan's constantly involved in, and it is to get your head over into that fear zone, because that's where he flourishes. And that's where he can gain his access into your house, your family, your finances, your health, all different kinds of things, because of the fear that gives an open door to his involvement. We got to know how to shut the door. I did a message a number of years ago, closing the doors on the enemy. I think I was on Brother Copeland's TV program at one point. We were talking about it. He got very excited about the whole idea. He said, I don't want to just close the door on the enemy. I want to get his head in the door and slam it. He just had a word picture there that I liked. I read a little article in Arlington, Texas, where I live, a lot of years ago, when I was talking about these things on closing the door to the enemy. That 80-some percent of the break-ins, crime being committed in Arlington, of people being broken into in their homes, it wasn't really a break-in at all. I mean, technically. I mean, by law, it was a break-in. But nothing had to be broken. Door was unlocked, window was open. They just walked in. They didn't break in. I mean, we call it a break-in because we got to throw them in jail. You got to call it something. You can't say they just walked in. Well, they walked in, so throw them in jail. No, that doesn't work. But they did. That's all they had to do. Why? Because people didn't lock their doors. Now, I grew up in L.A., not Louisiana. L.A., California. You lock your doors in California. I don't know what you guys do here locally. We lock them. I lock mine, man. Everything. Lock it down. Don't take your eyes off it. I love you, but I don't trust you. I don't know you. All right, I'm not talking about you, but I'm thinking of somebody that was here this morning. In Arlington, man, over 80% of the break-ins were not break-ins at all. They were just walk-ins. Because people wouldn't lock their door. We got to close these doors and lock them down. And that's what this psalm is really helping us see. That we can close the door to pestilence and the fear of it. We can close the door to the fear of arthritis. The fear of all the kinds of things that the devil tries to tell us that are going to start happening to you when you hit 65 or 70 or 75, whatever they try to convince you of. You know, they've been preparing us for our whole life, and those of you that haven't got there, they're preparing you now. I mean, they're getting you ready to be done at 65 years old. You're done. Life is over, basically, for you. No. I mean, don't get me started. It gets very cynical. I'm not going to go down that road. All right. The whole Social Security system, when it was designed, they decided to start paying you, you would qualify to get paid pretty close to what the expected life expectancy was for people in those days. Now, because life expectancy has gone on, you don't care. Anyway. Okay. Wow, I don't want to go there. So, let's try to come in for a landing here before too long. How far have I read? All right, only one person knows. I've read through verse 6. Verse 7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side. This is big. I want you to pay attention. If you fade it out, fade back. 1,000 may fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand. This is 11,000. I don't think he's trying to be technical, but I think just for the moment we could be technical. 11,000 that are really close. One side, the other side. They all fall. You know, that would tend to get somebody a little fearful that they might fall. Everybody else is going down. It's a going down trend. Seems to be a wave of going down. 1,000 on one side, 10,000 on the other side. Doesn't matter which side you're on, you're going down. But it, whatever it is, it will not come near you. Amen. Glory to God. You have every reason to believe that you are exempt from what's coming down on the world. You have every reason and right to believe that though others may get this, others may suffer, others may go through it, it's not coming near me. That doesn't mean God doesn't love others. It means the promise is for them, but the process is that by faith they receive it. Without the process, the promise doesn't come about. So it's not God withholding, it's people rejecting. We have to keep it clear or we begin to get offended at God ourselves. You've got people. I mean, I've heard people say this. Pastor, you may have heard people. Well, Pastor, I had to forgive God. You ever heard that? It's like, are you still on drugs? What? You had to what? This just helps me understand how screwed up you really are. I'm not trying to be judgmental, although that sounded extremely judgmental. That's like shocking information. How far off in a person's head do you have to get to think that in some way, shape, or form, God needs your forgiveness? Holy moly. He said, it'll not come near you. Now, you can do with that whatever you want. And I know you're the hardcore Sunday night Christian crowd, so I think I know what you're going to do with it. But here's what I'm doing. I'm declaring that. It doesn't come near me. I've been redeemed from poverty. I've been redeemed from sickness. I've been redeemed from divorce. I've been redeemed from strife. I've been redeemed from bitterness. I've been redeemed from anger. I've been redeemed from fear. I've been redeemed from the strongholds that Satan has tried to use against me. I am the redeemed. Amen. Glory to God. Say it out loud. I am too.
I am too.
Yeah. Glory to God. Man, we're in this together. Amen. That's the process. That's how the promise becomes personal. It'll not come near me. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. You need to put circles around that or stars or arrows or do something. No evil shall befall you. Don't let some religious fool tell you that this evil that has happened, we don't know why God allows these things, but sometimes in his cosmos wisdom. He just knows that if he'll mess with your life now and screw you up, he'll help heal it later. God's a good God. He'll break your leg today, but he'll heal you tomorrow. Amen. What? If you want my leg healed, just don't break it. You know, I was fine before you got involved. I don't need your healing if you're not going to do that. Anyway, you know, you get it. No evil shall befall you. Say it out loud. No evil befalls me. So what do you think would be evil? All right, that's way too general for my purposes. But yes, you're right. Sickness would be evil. That's evil. It's not cool. It's not great. It feels bad. It's not good. We don't long for it. We don't hope for it. We don't go chasing it down to bring it into our life and try to get it into our house. Sickness is part of Satan's plan for your future. Now, again, that doesn't mean that anybody sick is of the devil. I mean, people say some weird stuff sometimes. They hear funny stuff. I had a minister come to a meeting that I was doing up in Canada. And I had just made just a brief comment, so brief, about Luke 4:18, when Jesus was quoting from Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach the gospel to the poor." And I made this comment. I lifted it from Oral Roberts. What would good news, the gospel, what would that be to poor people? That you don't have to be poor anymore. Man, I like that idea. I saw this minister. He was in the restaurant the next day, the pastor of the church I was at. He and I had gone to a restaurant. We were having lunch, and that pastor was over there with his wife, the man that had come. Well, I thought I'd be cordial. I went over to say hello. "Hey, good to see you. I saw that you were in the service last night. I'm glad you came." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I enjoyed most of your message last night." You know, it doesn't even take a special gift from God to know we're not going to talk about what he enjoyed in the next few seconds. I don't even know how to respond to that, so I didn't. I just stood there and looked at him and waited for what was about to happen to go ahead and happen. Here it comes. He said, "Yeah, but you're preaching some heresy." Okay. "And so, what makes you think that?" "Well, you said last night that poor people can't be saved." I said, "Actually, I did not say that." He said, "Yes, you did. I heard you say it." I said, "Well, I'm the guy standing here that you say said it, and I didn't say that." He said, "Yes, you did. I heard you say it. You can't change it now. I heard you." He was ready to argue. He's ready to fight. I'll be honest. I would have been happy to deck him right then. I was ready to rumble. I don't know how it would have turned out, but he was going to pay a price. But I didn't. You would have been proud. With that last correction that he threw at me, I realized we're not really having a conversation. So I don't have to be polite. So I just turned and I left. I felt so victorious. I could feel the javelin in my back hurled. Anyway, that's a little drastic. But you don't know, how do you figure out people are going to get that out of what you said? I can't tell you how many times I've been quoted by people. You probably have been too. People want to tell you, "Boy, I've really appreciated what you said." And then they quote you and you want to say, "I've never said that. I have no idea what you're talking about." Anyway. No evil shall befall you. Now I'm saying that as clear as I know how. Because it's right there in the Word. Verse 10. Nor shall any plague, virus, sickness, disease, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Glory to God. This is divine protection. This is just what God has to say about the days that we're in right now in the reports you're hearing daily, multiple times on the news. And not all of it's about the virus, but a lot of it is. This is what God has to say about it. This is where we park our thinking. This is the filter that we're reading right here to filter out the things so the process of the promise stays in force and it's coming to pass in our life. Are you getting anything tonight? Yes. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread on the lion and the cobra, the young lion, and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Now this takes a shift. Now we have not somebody describing what God does. Now we have God speaking directly about you and me who have made him our dwelling place. He said, here he's verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will, here's that word again, deliver him. And I will set him on high because he has known my name. This word deliver, again, it's not the same as the one we read in verse 3. This word for deliver, it means to carry to safety or to carry to avoid trouble. It's not to get into it, get snared by it. It's to avoid it altogether. He will deliver you by empowering you to avoid the snare, whatever it might be. He will empower you with the wisdom that it takes, or the guidance, or the direction to turn right when going straight would have been dangerous. To make a left when going right would have been destructive. So many times in our life, we're not aware of this kind of deliverance. But because we've set our love on him, because we've made the commitment to walk with him, he is guiding decisions, steps, people to be involved with, people to avoid, business deals to get in and business deals to stay away from. I don't know, this just doesn't, I just don't think this is the direction I want to go right now. You know, it all looks good. It all sounds just right. This is a great deal. I don't know. I'm going to wait on this. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they say. I don't give a rip what they want me to do. Not now that I have that sense on, and I don't even have to understand why. I've had times I wanted to argue it out with God.
But God, this is really a good deal. Lord, this is a great situation. This is something I really need in my life.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a while. But he delivers us from trouble, carries us to safety. And he goes, and he says it, the context is just right. He will set him on high. Or he says, I will set him on high. Lift him, carry him across, cause him to avoid the trouble. Glory to God. Verse 15, he'll call upon me and I will answer him. Now watch this. This is really interesting. He said, here, he said, I will be with him in trouble. In trouble. All right, I've been in trouble. I've been in trouble with him and in trouble without him. I mean, trouble was my, never mind. But it was an ongoing situation for me for a few years. It was trouble. Oh, golly. Yeah. He said, I'll be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him and honor him. A third word for deliver, it doesn't mean to snatch up out of trouble. It doesn't mean to carry so that they're is an avoidance of trouble. He says, no, I will be with you in trouble and I will deliver you. And the real meaning of this word deliver is I will equip and empower you to deal with the trouble. I'll equip you. Now here's what we know. And now in the new covenant, we understand, man, that we are people of faith in the word and we've been given dominion and authority to speak God's word and to command our own freedom and deliverance. To take authority, to use what Jesus talked about when he said, what you bind on earth is bound, and what you loose on earth is loosed. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Too often people are failing to participate because they just are looking for God to snatch them up out of trouble, which means they're happy to get into it. Well, maybe not happy, but at least willing. Well, you know, God will deliver me. Well, fine. You go at it any way you choose. But man, when I find out that God wants to and has equipped me to blast this trouble out of my house or my money or my body because I have authority in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to wait for the devil to take advantage of me so that I can regain the ground that he's ripped off. Instead of that whole mess, we just learn to take authority over these things. Speak the word. Lay hold on the power and the promise of God. And he said, I will deliver you and honor you. And then this last verse, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory to God. Long life. Vicki and I declare these things all the time, that we have long life. God is demonstrating. That's what that idea of showing his salvation. He's demonstrating his salvation in my life. Not just that I'm going to heaven, but every facet of deliverance that he's described here, he's showing off in me in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are the delivered. We're the God begotten. We're the God protected. Satan cannot lay a hand on us. Back to 1 John. Let me read the verse from chapter 4, verse 4. Again, now in the Passion Translation, he said, little children, you can be certain that you belong to God and have conquered all of them. The world's ways is the context. For the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who is in the world. Far greater, say it out loud, he's in me. And he's far greater than anything that tries to steal my life. In Jesus' name. Far greater. That's good, isn't it? Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, No weapon formed against you will succeed or prosper. Every tongue, including the devil's tongue, including condemnation, including lies, including court cases that try to steal from you, whatever comes as a tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn or silence. You'll silence it. This peace, now listen to the final part of this. This is so powerful. This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Glory to God. All of this belongs to us. This is all promise that is part of God's plan. It's woven into the purpose that God has for every day of your life. And what we've looked at tonight is the process that activates and keeps active these things so that it's our experience. You see, ultimately, God's not looking to just give you a promise. He's looking to change your experiences so that you're actually having happen the things that he said he wanted to have happen for you. It's not enough that he's promised it. It's all he's going to do about it. He's promised it. He backs it. He's released all the power and it's all accessible. But now it's laying hold on what he has declared and promised. And as he said it here, understanding that it is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me. God's in on your situation. Your vindication from the threats, from the enemy, from the life, from the pressure, from the squeeze that Satan's tried to put on you in one way. Your vindication is your heritage. Glory to God. Don't let Satan steal it. Don't let him talk you out of it. Don't let him pressure you out of it. Don't let fear take hold regarding the days ahead. A thousand may fall at one side. You may see it, so to speak. Personally, I don't think this is going to continue to be the thing that they're promoting. But even if it were, 1,000 may fall on my right side, 10,000 on the left. It doesn't come near me. That's my heritage. Yeah, but what if they're Christians, Dennis? What if they love Jesus like you do? Well, it's their heritage too. That's the long and the short of it. It belongs to them just like it belongs to me. But I don't control their deal. I don't know what they're processing. I know what I'm doing. I'm taking hold. Are you? Amen. Say it, me too.
Me too.
Come on, stand up with me. Glory to God. We're going to take our inoculation. Lift one hand before the Lord. Say it right out to God. Oh God,
I see it in your word.
I see my heritage. That though one may fall at one side, 1,000 on one side, 10,000 on the other side, one on the back side. It doesn't come near me. It's my heritage. So in the name of Jesus, I declare to any virus, sickness or disease, you cannot live in my body. You touch my body, you die. I'm healed. I've received it. God sent his word and healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am the healed. I've been healed. I am healed. I remain healed. It's my heritage. And I receive it in Jesus' name. I've been inoculated. My immune system's strong. Because it's written in the Word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, shout a praise to God. Hallelujah. You will live and not die. And you'll reveal the glory of the Lord. Long life he's given you. A long, satisfied life. If you're not satisfied, it's not over. Glory to God. You're not leaving dissatisfied. You don't have to. Glory to God. Man, we could just go on all night with this stuff. This is how things change. This is how men and women of God are designed to live. This is what dominion sounds like. This is what authority sounds like. John Lake, one of the great apostles of faith and healing in the early 1900s, he demonstrated over and over again dominion over disease. And in one case, his report is that he was in South Africa during the bubonic plague. There were people dying in the city that he was in, but no one was there to bury him because nobody wanted to be infected by that disease that person would have died from. And there, wherever they died, that's where they lay. And it was a lot of people. But John Lake and his team of believers, his healing teams that he had, they decided that they needed to step up and take care of this. And they began to bury people. And they were asked by the health people, officials that were in the city, so, aren't you afraid? They said, no. They said, why aren't you afraid? Well, you see, when disease touches me, it dies. However he said it, that was the point. They didn't believe him. Of course they don't believe him. That's crazy talk, people like that. You're out of your mind. So he helped them understand with an experiment. He said, take some of what has come off of one of these dead people. Look at it under a microscope, which they did. What did you see? They described the bacteria that would have been the deadly disease of the plague that was killing all these people. And he said, now just set that slide on my hand. They did. He said, look at it again. They looked at it. It was all dead. It was just moments. It was all dead. There was no teeming life of death, which is weird. We got to ponder that. That's what authority is designed to do in us. We don't fear it. We've conquered it because Jesus paid the price for it. Glory to God. You glad you came tonight? Come on, shout another praise to the Lord. Glory to God. Now there's healing in the house right now. This isn't just regarding what is being reported. Healing belongs to us. It is our heritage and it's your heritage right now. If you're dealing with some sort of sickness or disease, put your hand right up in the air right now.